In a week, tell me, how is everything? Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, 'cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Ass with Emma and Adam. Proudly brought to you this February, thanks to the Dolphin Theatre. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and find us on Spotify. Tonight we're chatting with guests around the Motu about their upcoming shows, plus we catch up with one of last week's guests. But to start our show, here is the latest from Greta O'Leary, Prelude. That was Greta O'Leary, of course, is a past person that we've interviewed, so it's always great to hear new music coming out. Hey, Adam.
G'day, Emma. How's it going?
Good. Stephen's away, but I'm going to say it to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Kick Arts.
Yeah, it's our fifth birthday today.
Isn't that crazy?
It's absolutely crazy. So, you know, we posted a couple of posts earlier in the day. So, yeah, it was our first show at the old Unitech Studios 5 years ago, and our first guests were Tuatara Collective with Little Black Bitch, and we had Matu Akina and Jason here, as well as Dr. James Wenley was talking about, I think that was actually talking about his Fringe show at the time, with Rachel, his director. So
that's topical.
I know, considering we've got so many Fringe people around the place today. But we're going to talk about more about our fifth birthday next week when Stephen comes back. So I'm sure Stephen will be listening to us. He's currently in Melbourne as Katie, his daughter, is starting her tertiary studies at VCA. So he's there dropping her off, such as such. But shall we get on with the show?
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
So in studio, it's quite nice to have some in studio guests, our only in-studio guest tonight, because we've got phone calls. We've got Comedy Culture New Zealand. There you go, with Rebecca and Bridie. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
So, you've got lots going on at the moment.
Yeah. Quite busy, I'd say.
Very busy.
Very busy. Yeah, well, I mean, who puts on two shows and only has 4 days between show one and show two?
Well,
having their cake and eating it too.
People who weren't working together when they initially pitched the shows and then decided we should work together.
Yeah. Oh, right. So you were doing a show each and then you decided to join forces.
Yeah. Well, Comedy Culture was like my thing. Mm-hmm. And I'd said to Rebecca a few times, like, you know, if you wanna jump over. And then I think we realised that it would just make sense for all of our shows to come together under Comedy Culture. And so now, and thus, our duo was born.
And thus you can't think straight.
And thus we can't think straight.
Literally.
Yeah.
It's pretty literal at this point.
Right. So, Rebecca, why don't you tell us a little bit about Can't Think Straight, sometimes spelt straight properly and sometimes spelt STRA, depending on which website you're on.
Depending how cool you are that
day. Yeah, you're not the first person who's questioned that spelling.
I love STRA. I
no
think that's great.
Questioned the person who actually did it.
Yeah.
I think STR8 is great. But anyway, tell us a little bit about it.
So it's happening next week at Basement Theatre, and it is a queer variety show. So we've got a lovely diverse range of performers. We've got people who are coming in from outside of Auckland even. We've got comedy, we've got music, we've got drag. Yeah, it's going to be very cool. I think there's not a lot of variety shows out there. So it was Bridie's great idea that there should be a variety show.
So even though it's a variety show, Bridie, is there anything that kind of ties it together? Like, is everyone performing on a common theme or is it just random variety?
The common theme, I think there's two common themes. One is that it has to be, like, joyful and, like, because I think comedy doesn't just have to just be stand-up or just this. It just should just make you laugh. So, and that's very joyful. Number two is a space for people to figure out new material in front of better audiences than maybe like at a pub or something. Because it was initially a stand-up open mic. And then I was like, I want more than that. So, yeah.
Can you throw out some names of the artists?
We've got David Stewart is currently a Billy T nominee. David will be doing some stand-up.
He's on opening night.
See, Marshall Lorenzo came from Second City in Chicago, and they're a sketch comedian.
That's pretty cool.
Toasty Sandwich is a drag queen from, I think they're from Hamilton.
Toasty Sandwich.
Toasty Sandwich.
I love drag names.
Yeah.
Like, they're always fun, good. Right?
Yeah. We've got, here's our drag. We've got Hort Dish.
Hort Dish.
Cuisine.
Oh.
But also like a hot dish.
Like a hot dish.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's a good name as well.
Well, the other ones are like more glamorous, like Namu Treasure.
That's a very glamorous name.
Namu.
I'm really excited as well for Mixwell. On closing night.
Is that a drag act as well.
They are a musical comedian that is, they're so high energy and they just like take over the whole stage and just command the audience. I've seen them before and they have just hilarious songs and just.
And they're called the stage presence. Mixwell.
Yeah. Okay. We've got three musical comedians. So we've got like a musical comedian and drag performers each night. So
yeah.
You get in comedy, drag, music, and a little something else on every night.
So it's on for three nights?
Three nights.
So people should come three times and see different people each night?
Yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Is there a discount for coming three times?
Well, it's choose what you pay, so...
Oh, well, there you go.
You could choose your own discount.
You can choose your own discount.
So you could go, I can afford $30, so I'll pay $10 a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's completely valid.
It's completely valid.
Yeah.
We'd love to. We want to make it a big party. We just want everyone to come hang out and have a nice time.
Yeah, we do. Now, are both of you performing?
We are. We're hosting. So we're the double act hosts of the show.
Yeah.
Have we got matching outfits? Or have we got, like, what's going on with the fit as MC?
There's been a lot of conversations about how we're going to approach this. We've had Kermit and Miss Piggy thrown out.
That was an idea we had.
You need three ideas because you need a different thing each night in case people come back.
Oh, that's really true.
Yeah.
Well, we can swap.
You could swap. We could swap.
We could just I'll be Rebecca and you be
and
Bridie.
I'll be Bridie.
Which then we'll would be mean ourselves. Nothing to an audience who doesn't know us. But
by the third night, it'll mean a lot to them.
Yeah, by the third night, they'll have us all they've collected us all.
The second night, we both be Bridie. Third night, we'll both be Rebecca.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could do, maybe you could do it by first night is glitter and sequins, the next night is stripes, and the next night's floral.
Oh, like passions. We were going to do...
be our official costume designer.
Do you need another job?
No, we're missing that.
But that would be quite hilarious. You know, you do definitely need to think about this. Because imagine if you both walked out on stage wearing the same thing.
Oh.
Like people would go, did they not talk about what they were wearing? Like, you've got to be pink and green. You can't be both green.
Maybe we should just not talk about it and not see each other until we get on stage.
We'll see what happens.
Like when you get married and you don't see the bride.
And then we'll just back out.
Married at first
look.
We'll married at first look ourselves. And look at first sight? Oh, I don't know.
Married at first sight?
Married at first sight. I tried to make it something out of it. But we'll just take both entrances and back towards each other.
Now, was it Can't Think Straight or Big Queer Improv Party that I felt like Steve Lyons was on the poster?
Stephen Lyons is in both of these shows. I know he's a friend of the family here. He's doing both
the
shows.
Too.
Yeah, we love Stephen.
He is a possible costumer for you because him and his loud shirts, you know, maybe you could have a Stephen Lyons loud shirt night where you just wear really loud shirts.
We just all dress like Stephen Lyons.
Yeah, we could both dress as Stephen
Lyons. Hi, Stephen Lyons. I hope you're listening because we're talking about you right now.
Stephen's on Friday night.
Yes.
Stephen Lyons will be on Friday night for fans of Stephen Lyons.
Yeah.
Excellent.
On Friday, everyone dressed like Stephen Lyons.
Yeah, loud shirts. Loud shirt day.
Pay what you want and wear a loud shirt.
Mm-hmm. We got a call up. Loud Shirt Day is an event raising money for people with hearing loss. They got to get Stephen as part of their marketing, clearly.
He's ambassador.
Yeah.
I think that's quite funny. Yeah. Should we keep talking about Can't Think Straight or should we tell people what Big Queer Improv Party number two is?
Big Queer Improv Party number two? Very exciting. Bigger and better than Big Queer Improv Party number one. You've got me started talking about it.
Yeah, go for it.
Very excited.
Yeah.
So we did the show last year. We had a bunch of comedians, bunch of improvisers, people you've seen on TV, and we had two nights. They sold out. We raised $1,500 for Rainbow Youth. So now we've got three nights, got more people, and we're hoping to raise more money for Rainbow Youth.
I was just going to say, have you got a goal? If it was that much last year, have we got like a, we are going to try and beat $20,000?
We're trying to beat last year. So as long as we have $1,501, we've beat last year.
Right.
But we'd like as much as possible. But, yeah, that shows also pay what you choose. So, yeah, it just depends on what people choose, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And so, I mean, we've said that it's the big queer improv party and it's part of Pride, obviously.
Yeah.
Rainbow Youth, is it too soon to ask your opinions on what happened last night?
I just watched the video before I got here.
Oh, no.
Did it make you really angry?
It made me... Yeah. It made me so angry.
Mm.
And...
Does it mean that people in Pride maybe are having to have contingency plans or plans up their sleeves in case anything happened? Like, did our friend at the library realise that, you know, like... Is it a health and safety thing that actually now as producers you need to maybe consider what do we do if someone was to come and make a scene or cause a protest?
I mean, I think the goal of the kind of violence that happened at the library yesterday is to try and scare people into shutting down their events, right? Like, that's why they targeted an event that had families and children, because they want people to be scared and they want people to be worried about more events being targeted. So I think it's really important for everyone not to just cancel all of their events.
Oh, that's definitely. What they want. We don't want cancel culture, no way.
And I think because we're at the Basement Theatre for these shows and they have such a strong community there, and like it's an Auckland Council building, and I think they have the infrastructure that I think it's a venue that it would be very difficult for something like that to happen there.
And it's a social hub.
Could,
they would have a long way to walk.
Yeah, I mean, and the car park is closed.
They'd have to get through the bar.
Yeah.
Pay $12
for the
parking.
See them.
You'd see them, and then
they'd be walking for a long way to get there.
I just think, though, that as producers, it's really interesting, though, how many. It's not just about just putting on a show anymore. With you know, you've got to think about if someone shows up with a mask, if someone's coughing in the audience, do we need to suggest they put on a mask? You know, we've still got all those other things that we've got to think about as producers, which good on you for still producing, because I do wonder whether new producers kind of go, oh, this is too much.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Because how long have you been producing for, Bridie?
Oh. I lived in Hawke's Bay before I was in Auckland.
I so wish our listeners could have seen your reaction then. Like, comedy gold.
I slumped right into the chair, let the ground swallow.
How does that
out.
Question make you feel?
Maybe like on and off for 10 years.
Right.
On and off.
Were you doing it in the Hawke's Bay as well?
Yeah. Mm. Mainly, I wasn't doing stand-up or anything then, so it wasn't so much intentionally comedy as it was just events. It was what I thought was performing arts events or gigs or whatever.
But actually they were hilariously funny, so you became a stand-up.
Something like that. Let's say that's what happened. And I didn't just move to Auckland and go, oh my gosh, I don't know anyone and I can't do theatre anymore because I need a full-time job. But yeah, I think the creation and making something for people to be proud of is so much more worth. Like, they want us to react with violence and throw tears and stuff, just like they're doing, like being
dicks.
Yeah, that's the word. I was like, watch what you say, Bridie. This is the radio. So I think it's in our best interest to just act as if it's not going to happen, and then treat it like anything could happen.
Because
it's always good to have a safety procedure, regardless of what the factors are.
Well, I mean, if you were taking this to Wellington, you'd have to have a safety factor in case there was an earthquake, right?
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just a natural disaster.
It's just a natural. What can we do to prevent the natural disasters, you know?
Yeah.
Freaky. And how long have you been producing, Rebecca? Because, I mean, normally we're talking to you because you're part of a performance when you've been in before, but now we're talking to you more as the producer.
Yeah, well, I think I've also probably produced all of the shows I've been talking to you about as a performer. Yeah, I mean, Improverished, which is my improv group, is having its 10-year anniversary this year.
That's really scary,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, so it'd be almost 10
You've
years
still got
that.
People around the country yeah. trying to pronounce impoverished.
See, I can't even do it. I still can't do it, and you've been coming on the show for so long.
Impoverished, no.
Glaze over it.
Impoverished, yeah. Impoverished, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Pass the microphone,
But then, of course, there's been you've been a part of so many other improv groups as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
Rebecca's the hardest working improviser in the country, I think.
This is a bold, bold claim.
I've said it. I've said it to the public.
You've said it. It's out there now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen you packing in and, in and out of things. You're definitely a very hard worker. I would totally agree with you on that one, Bridie. Yeah.
And do you know who else would? Stephen Lyons.
Stephen Lyons, who is also very hardworking. Yeah, yeah. As is everyone.
Well, I think we have to be in New Zealand. But should we take a quick musical break and come back to that about your journeys, a little bit more about your journeys and what it means to be hardworking performing artists in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
Who are we listening to, Adam?
All right, coming up now, we have got Where's Jai with Ka Cash.
Spending time, only reason you're still mine. Nobody I know does want a bit of cash. Got me dizzy, it's all that matters. Making money, spending bucks, only reason this and us. Taking you out, never on the low key. He don't want a wife, he wants a trophy. So all the pretty girls, yeah, rise above. Spending time, only reason you're still mine. Nobody I know just want a bit of cash. Got me dizzy, it's all that matters. Making money, spending bucks, only reason there's an us. I don't need your truth, babe, set a trust. Yeah, only want what's best for us. Mine. Nobody I know does want a bit of cash. Got me dizzy, it's all that matters. Making money, spending bucks, only reason this and us. Everyone, of course, just wants it better. But everyone below me, they don't matter.
Yeah.
Where's Jai? Now, I have to say, again, past people in the studio, man, have they their sound changed and grown up from when they first were Smoke-Free Rock Quest and what they were doing there. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Anyway, we're back with Comedy Culture NZ.
Yay.
Lovely enthusiasm, guys. Great enthusiasm. This is because they're so busy.
Really, you bring our own audience.
You bring our own audience. Yeah, Stephen Lyons is listening right now. So anyway, first of all, Bridie, take us back. You said Hawke's Bay, but how did you get into the whole performing thing and why comedy?
I've always, I think I have, as far as I'm told, have always been funny. I think I'm like just a naturally goofy person. I did like, you know, speech and drama as a kid, and I did all the community theatre, kept doing community theatre.
Sometimes community theatre can be comedy as well.
For me, it generally was. How did I just did it, and I looked for every opportunity to do it. And every opportunity that came my way, I took it. And so I just kind of inserted myself into any performing arts space I could. And then finally decided to move to Auckland about, like, oh my gosh, 4 years ago now? Which was kind of long overdue. But I came up to do the creative thing and try and get some money from doing creative things. But what that looked like, I didn't know. And so kind of just needed to meet people. And there's a New Zealand comedy school, which is run by a comedian called Neil Thornton in Wellington. And he brought it up here, and I did that. And then suddenly I could write jokes, and I was like, whoa, I can do that. And then I started doing gigs, and then I started meeting more improvisers because that's what I actually wanted to do.
Did you do theatre sports at school? Was that a thing? Is that a thing in Napier Hawke's Bay?
Not really. I've never done, like, quote-unquote theatre sports in my life. I've done improv at school. And then I really desperately tried to get an improv group going in Hawke's Bay, but yeah, no, that didn't. It didn't.
Yeah, no.
Not enough improvisers?
Like, enough interest, sure, but not enough people who'd actually show up. No. So it would just be three of us, like, nerding out about improv, doing some games, and then going, oh, well, we can't actually do much with this. We're in Hawke's Bay.
Was it like a TUI ad?
Yeah, right. Like a improv group?
Yeah, right.
Improv in Hawke's Bay? Yeah, right. But they've got an improv group in Hawke's Bay now, which is very cool. Yeah.
What so is that?
I don't know what they're called. Do you know Emma Bow?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Hawke's Bay.
I don't know her.
Oh,
but
she's so lovely.
She's moved to Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, of course.
You could go back and be like a guest star.
Well, then she's she said, if you ever want to come back, we've got these gigs and we've got these gigs. And I'm like, oh, wow. Look, takes me leaving to come back and get all the attention that I deserve.
But none of the work and all of the attention.
None of your work and all the attention.
Beautiful. Yeah. All right, well, that's cool. And what about you, Rebecca? What was your journey looking like?
Well, I did do theatre sports in school.
You're a TYP kid.
I'm a TYP. And you know what? Now I'm a TYP staff member.
Yeah.
So it's
I know
a
what
whole
TYP stands for.
That's the theatre sports youth program in Auckland.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Auckland had everything cool.
Yeah. That's my sort of theatre sports improv journey. But I also did comedy school with Neil Thornton. I think there's so many people coming through comedy school, which I think is fantastic because it just like raises the bar of all the new comedians. And I think there's a real focus on diversity of who's doing it and on teaching people what's actually a good joke and what audiences actually want to listen to, which is very important because I think a lot of people don't want to go to see stand-up that's horrible and that you're just gonna and that you're just gonna hear someone saying terrible things, which is also the point of comedy culture, is to have shows where people aren't just on stage shouting awful things at you. Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's the thing, because surely stand-up has evolved from telling really bad sexual jokes about your girlfriends and really inappropriate racial slurs and things.
I think a lot of people have evolved, but some people are still stuck in the past.
Yeah, you'd like to think they had evolved, but
I feel like New Zealand is now just catching up with, like, all of the, like, Joe Rogan-ness of it all and trying to get a little bit edgy, and I don't know if it's trying to... I don't know what for.
Yeah.
An act of defiance?
Yeah. I don't know.
But we pay them no mind.
But do stand-up comedians still do the whole take out the beer bottle and kind of be swigging the beer while they're doing the stand-up, you know? My first experience of stand-up comedy was watching these guys in pubs kind of being like, oh, yeah, I'm just having a few beers and telling some really disgusting jokes about my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely is still out there, but not at our shows.
Not at our shows.
I mean, that's truly like what comedy culture has grown out of, is the desire that there's so many wonderful comedians in Auckland who aren't doing that, and sometimes there's one or two of them buried in a gig amongst some other stuff that is that kind of more old-fashioned, and you want to pull out the joyful comedy and have it stand on its own without being tarnished by beer swigging pub comedy.
Because they often are the people who stop doing comedy altogether. If you don't sort of go, hey, no, look, we are here. We do have good gigs, I promise.
Yeah. If you're the only woman or non-man on a lineup enough times, you're just going to be like, I don't like this energy.
So do you have a goal or a dream for where you would like your comedy / improv to go? Like, is it to be on Taskmaster, like Rose Matafeo, or, you know, something like that? Or is there something specific?
Do you know what? And call me simple. My goal was, I had two goals moving to Auckland. Do a show at Basement and be on BFM. And we're doing both those things.
You've done both those next week.
My dreams have come true.
Yeah. So now you've got to write new goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to raise the bar now. What about you? What's your sort of, I'm keen to know what your
breakfast show,
your inspiration.
I think that when we're hosting Taskmaster, Bridie, would you rather be the guy that sits in the chair, the taskmaster, or the little iPad
Would
guy?
I rather be Greg or Alex?
Well, I think Paul did a really good job of it.
Yeah,
New Zealand taskmaster.
Paul did an awesome job.
Yeah.
I would like to be the taskmaster. But that's great because I want to be the iPad guy.
Because I thought
guy.
You'd be.
Yeah.
You
I can
be
see
Paul?
That.
Yeah,
for
I
you.
Want to be Paul.
I can see you for the.
I could see a bronze bust of you.
So could I. So could I. And I could see myself really being quite mean if I wanted to.
Can I just suggest that maybe one of your three nights of Can't Think Straight, maybe you, you know, take on these roles. Maybe you take on these roles, you know. Rebecca, you can take out your little iPad with your list of things and you can hold a bust of yourself.
Quick. Where do I get a bust of myself in a few days? I'll just hold my chest. That's the joke. Taskmaster, I think that's like any comedic performer's dream is to be on Taskmaster. Because I mean, I don't know about you, but I love Taskmaster.
Yeah, Taskmaster is amazing.
The New Zealand Taskmaster is hilarious.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah.
I think we're raising the bar big time. We're right up alongside, you know, the British.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm glad you've got goals. Set them high. You've got a new goal now.
Yeah, I've got to set them high.
So now that you've met your two first goals, your next goal is to be on Taskmaster.
And
be
the Taskmaster.
To
be the
Taskmaster.
Jeremy Wells, wherever you are.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah. And so is Rebecca. Sorry, Paul.
Yeah. I love it. Now, tell us, let's probably come back round to what's coming up for you, the both of you. How do people find out? When's it happening? Where's it happening? Where do we get tickets? Who's got all that info,
Well, Rebecca is gesturing to me.
Can't Think Straight next week
at Basement Theatre. You can go on the Basement Theatre website, Can't Think Straight and Big Queer Improv. They'll be on there. Tickets from iTicket. We also have an Instagram and Facebook, Comedy Culture NZ. It's that simple.
Yeah. And do you know if you go onto the event page on KickArt's website that both are
and the ticket link and everything.
Oh,
listed there.
Stop.
Emma,
it.
You're too good.
The technology.
Yes.
Honestly.
Incredible.
So go to the Kick-Ass website
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
Give them the extra traffic and the clicks and the, all that.
Heck yeah. See, there's the technical lingo.
Yeah, I like yeah,
that.
I know.
The traffic and the clicks.
The traffic and the clicks.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
We need traffic. We need clicks.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah. Get that.
Traffic,
let's go.
Clicks. Yeah. Costumes.
Costume.
Yeah. Themed. Produce theme hosting,
bust.
Yeah, a bust, a gold bust.
Maybe theme hosting.
It might be cheaper for you to get one of both of you. You know, two for one or something when you're getting those busts made.
Yeah,
I've always wanted. I think that would be fun to do.
Yeah,
maybe we should just get someone to draw our caricature during the show.
They could be sitting there during the show and then present it at the end.
It's not too late.
That's just for us.
Caricaturist. Yeah.
Any caricaturist listening to us right now, get in touch with Comedy Culture NZ. They're looking for you. You can get a free ticket to the show.
We've got a gig for you. It's a gig of a lifetime, according to me.
Hey, it could be the next thing that's presented on Taskmaster when you have to take something along. You know how it starts.
Yeah.
It could be your caricature from Can't Think Straight.
Mm. Maybe we should do that each night, is have an object we have to bring.
I was going to say get a different artist each night.
Oh, or get a different artist each night.
Oil paintings, caricatures,
third type of art, watercolour.
I don't know.
Oil or, acrylic.
You know, you could have a little 3D printer making your bust while you're doing your performance. It could just be through the whole performance.
Look at these
and
ideas.
See, this is why people come to the radio. We give you
so
ideas.
Much, more than,
and,
so
and I'm not
ideas.
Even going to charge you for my
just a massive brainstorming session.
Just so giving.
Well, I'm glad that it's kind of been a little bit like Can't Think Straight tonight in the studio. You know, it's been great. I'm slowly thinking straight after getting home from America very early yesterday. But I hope the season of both of them go really well. Remember, it's the 20th to the 22nd of February for Can't Think Straight with the Pay What You Want. Not Pay What You Want. What's it called?
Pay What You Choose.
But it pay can what, be you
pay
choose.
What You Want. Yeah.
Okay. Pay as you choose what you want.
Pay What You Choose.
Pay What You Choose.
Yep. Choose what you want.
Choose what you want.
Want what you pay.
I should have made you do some improv while you were here. Oh, we have been improv.
This entire radio show is improv.
That's what improv is.
Just being able to chat really well.
Yeah, just having stuff that comes out of your mouth.
It's not quite 9 o'clock yet. We can't quite talk about things that come out of your mouth. But anyway, see, it was a stand-up comedian, old school, coming out of me right then.
No, it was great.
It was great.
We all laughed. And the audience would have been thinking it.
Yeah.
They would have got room for a joke there.
Yeah.
Is there an age limit on either of your shows?
What a great question. Under 18 with Guardians, right? Because it's a bar.
Yeah, because it is a bar.
There's not going to be anything too crazy, but it could be saucy because we've got drag performers. And you never know what the drag performer... And actually... Yeah, I'd say under 18 with The Guardian.
That's nicely put. Well, thank you so much for joining us again in the studio. It's great to have you both back, and we look forward to the things that are coming up later in the year that we're not allowed to talk
that
about.
We're not allowed to follow comedy culture.
Follow comedy culture, but hopefully you'll be back in the studio when those things happen, and we can do some more riffing and improving on Crazy Talk.
Oh,
sounds
yeah.
Good.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to play a bit of a track while we get our next interview UE on the telephone. So this is Prince.
Yep.
With her latest
Run.
Heard you finally left to go to London, and the wreckage you left is like a stain on the floor. All the lies that you told are coming undone. Now I gave you my best, but I can't do it no more. Won't admit you ran too far. And I don't wanna prove you wrong. How long can you do this for? I just can't believe it. How could you tell me the moment I was drowning? You didn't have the guts, you stayed away. And baby, now we could've waited a second or a day, but you let me stone cold. Gave me no choice but to run. Choice but to run.
couldn't last 2 weeks. You try to hide it. Guess it didn't work out. All the dreams that you had. Now your new girl sounds the way that I did. Cause you measure success with things you don't understand. And will it all sink in? I just can't believe it. How could you tell me the moment? Choice but to run, run, just to run, just to run. Push me out, stone cold. You couldn't hold on. Run, run, just to run, run, just to run, run, run. Gave me no choice but to burn out, to stand tall, take care of myself, and to be on my own and move on for my health, and to fall off the deep end and embrace the feeling. Cause you can't reach me now, but still I wonder how could you tell me the moment I was drowning, you didn't have the guts, you stayed away, and baby now we could have waited a second or a day, but you let me stone cold.
And that was Prince with Run. She's got some really cool music out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So look her up, Prince. And anyway, that was a cool interview to start the show.
That was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. It's amazing how improvisers can just improvise away. It was very cool. But next, we're coming through, I think he's in Wellington right now. We're catching up with Robin, who, of course, was one of our guests last week. Good evening, Robin.
Hi, how are you going?
Going good. Sorry I wasn't here to chat with you last week, you know, you and Lentil, but how's it all been going and over here in Aotearoa?
We've had a momentous few days. What a great country this is. Yeah, it's our third time. We have it here. And you seem to love crazy cats.
Wow, that's awesome then. And the show's started now, hasn't it?
Yeah, we are sold out our opening night on Friday. We had a matinee yesterday and today, and then a special unhinged version last night, which was lots of fun.
So when you say unhinged, because it was unhinged in what kind of a way?
Well, the claws were out, all filters were off. A fully adult version where anything went.
fun times. Now, and that is in Wellington. I was right to say that you're in Wellington.
Yes, New Zealand Fringe, eclectic mix of the weird and absurd, and highly recommended. Not that much wind, though, not what I was led to believe.
Oh, well, you know, you're obviously not there on a windy Wellington day, because it can be very windy.
Sure.
And what's Lentil thinking of Wellington?
He's appreciating it. He's noticed there's a lack of birds which fly, which is a plus for him. And he's he's liking the sense of humour, I think. He's been talking to people every night, dispensing interesting advice. People have asked him about Schrodinger's cat, whether he thinks he's a god, and what the future of New Zealand is. There's been some debate, actually, whether New Zealanders would beat cats. Who's going to survive an apocalypse? I think it might be New Zealanders who are on a safe island, far away from nuclear bombs and such. So I think you might be okay. But if not, it might be cats.
It might be. I mean, I've just come back from America, where of course it's dogs and rats.
Oh dear.
Well, that's what we saw. We didn't see many cats. I don't think I saw any cats while I was away, but I saw a heck of a lot of dogs.
You know, America's not very big on cats, and they're mostly indoors.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I think I'm in the right place. We've had lots of people dress up as cats, completely relating to cats. Lots of whiskers. Everybody had their own cat story. I feel like I've found my tribe.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. And what's been your favourite thing in Wellington so far? Have you found some fab food or...?
I'm intrigued by your bucket fountain here on Cuba Street. People gathering around that like it's some kind of amazing art show. It's quite funny. Quite liking the chaos and the cosmopolitan vibe, actually. It's like San Francisco with less idiots.
And remind our listeners, where do you go to after Wellington?
So on Friday, we are at Adelaide, so Adelaide Fringe. Very much a change of scenery, and I'm guessing some slightly different humour. I've not been there before. And then who knows what? We've got all sorts of stuff in the summer, everything from science festivals to Glastonbury and beyond. Everybody loves the crazy cat.
Yeah, well, hopefully you've got some good summer weight clothes for Adelaide as well, because it's definitely much warmer over there.
So I'm led to believe. Pack the sun cream. I'm not sure how they feel about cats. It's not just cats, it's AI, it's all sorts of other stuff. A glimpse into another world. We shall see.
And when you... Yeah, that's pretty cool. And like you said, you've got even science things. And I suppose the AI part of it means that you can take it to lots of different avenues.
Yeah, and communicate with lots of different audiences as well. Actually, it has potential to be quite useful to perhaps people who are lonely or people who are really autistic or maybe people with Alzheimer's. I think there will be some pluses. We hear lots of negatives, and some of them are right, but I think AI will have a part to play in keeping us all company, perhaps.
Fabulous. So remind our listeners how they can follow you or find out more or follow, get some life advice from Lintel.
Yes, thank you. ChatGPT Pro on Instagram and Facebook. Send in your questions and you'll come back with more.
Fabulous. Well, we wish you all the best for the rest of your couple of days at New Zealand Fringe.
Respect to you, and I'd like to say actually respect to all human artists. We should put humans first.
Fabulous. Well, you have a good rest of your Sunday night. Thanks, Robin.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, definitely a little bit different with that.
Very different.
Those that heard, tuned in last week, you would have heard, or if you didn't tune in, you can still listen to it online via planetaudio.org, and I'll be uploading last week and this week's episodes tomorrow to our Cuck Arts website. But, so Lintel is a cat, as we've heard.
Yes, an AI cat.
An AI cat, and his Lintel's been made with a 3D printer. And, it was quite interesting last week because Lintel was actually on the interview. So Stephen and Taylor spoke with Lintel.
It's a bummer we couldn't quite get him back this week.
Yeah.
I would have liked to talk to a cat.
Yeah, it's really interesting, though, all the different things that are on at Fringe. Like, it's so if you're down in Wellington, I hope you really are going along and checking things out. I mean, obviously, at the moment, we've got some great shows up here as part of Pride. The Pay What You Want at the Basement, there are so many shows at the moment that are that way, which I think is fantastic. Cause
so cool.
Hopefully, it means that people that maybe can't afford the $35 ticket or the $40 ticket to get along to, you know, Auckland Theatre Company, etc., might get along to the Basement.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway, we didn't talk about it at the start, but obviously, like I mentioned, I've just got back from America.
You've been in America, yeah.
Yeah, so we had the two updates from me over there. So we're now back. Our kids won some amazing little awards in Sacramento, including excellence in acting for their piece from Beetlejuice, and overall in pod was won by Auckland performer Logan Ding. So that's one of two people were chosen out of 300 for that award. So it was really cool to have a New Zealand person win that.
That's incredible.
Then we went on to Disneyland, the happiest place on earth. And even though the second day we were there, it was raining all day, the kids definitely, I think, would agree.
Every day was still the happiest place on earth.
Very happy. To Universal for our last day. And then home on a 12-hour flight, you know. So it's nice to be back and back into work. But a lot of very tight friendships made. There were lots of tears at the airport as people from different places around the Aotearoa were saying goodbye to each other. And great memories and lots happening.
That's so cool that there's like an opportunity like this for, you know, young kids to go out and they can go explore, go into a different country, meet a whole bunch of people from around their country and connect with them, like just over this period.
And even the, I think for a lot of them too, being on Broadway and seeing Broadway shows. And then like we also got to work with, we'd seen Outsiders as one of the shows we saw as a group. And then we got to do a workshop with the dance captain and learn one of the numbers, the singing and dancing with her in a Broadway teaching kind of way. So, you know, that was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. Have you seen any shows lately, now that you're working with Auckland Live and that?
I've been doing a little bit of work with Auckland Live as an event services attendant, which is fun when you get to usher and you get to pop in and, you know, sit in on a show. So that's been pretty cool. Two weeks ago, there was Sarah Millican in, and that was pretty cool. Not quite my sense of humour, I'll admit. I don't think I'm quite the target demographic, but very, very funny. I think the audience absolutely loved it. And then just a few days ago, Bianca Del Rio, the drag queen from America, which is actually really, really funny. I went into that thinking I wasn't going to enjoy it very much, and that was amazing. Really, really cool.
Awesome. Now, we have got another phone interview coming up, and we need to get them online. So should we take another quick music break before we get Jack on the line?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so coming up next, we had Danica on the show, was it a few, last month, 2 months
ago?
With one of her new songs, and she's got another one. So this is Danica Bryant with Morals.
Tell me if I've said too much, been selfish with my words, trying hard to be enough. The bones, they ache, the path I take, my passion is my promise made, and to know the right way works. Can my mind stop making a madman out of me? Can my mind stop making it so hard to feel free? I say that I want it all, reaching out with both my hands. What if I don't get the call? The delusions are too grand. The fates agree to leave me be. So I stay chained to a broken dream, and I'm dealt an empty hand. Can my mind stop making a madman out of me?
if I've said too much.
And that was Danica Bryant with Morals. It's got a great music video that goes with it, so make sure you jump over to YouTube to check it out. So next up, we are catching up with Jack McGee in Wellington about two productions happening with New Zealand Fringe. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening. How are we doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. How are things down? And we've just been told by our last guest that it's not windy in Wellington.
No, we've had a couple of rare, like very sunny, very still days. So we're not really living up to expectations.
Ah, well, you know, I know I'd rather be there when it's not windy. But I think we all would, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, if it was like this every day, everyone would live here. So we'll see how much longer it lasts.
Fair enough. Now, you're a very busy person at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny you should mention that. New Zealand Fringe is going on at the moment. And so I was determined to catch a show tonight that starts in half an hour. So I'm actually taking this call hiding upstairs at the theatre where the show is going to be taking place.
Perfect.
So nobody tell the establishment, Te Awaha, that I'm hiding away.
Now, lucky that you're hiding away at Te Awaha, given what's going on with them at the moment. The fact that they're trying to close them down, like, what the heck? It's the one of the best venues.
Well, it's heartbreaking because, especially being here at NZ Fringe at the moment, in the past couple of years, Te Awaha have really stepped up and taken on a lot of shows during Fringe, and it's just bustling with people. So, yeah, it would be a really devastating blow for Wellington, not just sort of losing the arts education, which is important, but also just how fantastic it is as a venue. So I really hope we don't see that happen.
Now, let's talk about the first one that I've got written down, which, of course, is Edit Sad Parts, which you wrote.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a play written by me. We've got a play reading coming up at Circa Theatre on Saturday. It's a sort of romantic drama / comedy about a writer who sort of starts writing a short story about a relationship imploding and quickly learns some truths about her own relationship and then sort of ends up communicating with her partner via the story as he starts editing it with her.
Crazy. Now, where did the idea for this come from?
I was really inspired and that stole a little bit from a fantastic film by a woman named Mia Hansen-Love called Bergman Island, which came out a couple of years ago, which sort of similarly has kind of a relationship between artists explored with kind of, in that case, a film within a film as opposed to a play within a play in Sad Parts' case. So I stole a lot from that.
And is this the first play reading of it?
This is the first public play reading. We've been really lucky to have Circa Theatre sort of offer us the space during Fringe. But I was really lucky. I received a bit of support from Play Market, the sort of script writing agency, earlier last year, and they were able to sort of help set up a private sort of closed play reading and workshop of that for me, which ended up being really crucial in sort of further developing the piece towards where it is now.
Fabulous. And I believe that was it part of the B425 competition with Playwright?
Last year it was highly commended, so sort of second place in the competition, which was really exciting.
What does it mean to be able to have something like that where you can enter something you've written?
Competition. I mean, I will say, I don't know if I would necessarily like be a playwright or be pushing, you know, as a playwright if it wasn't for Before 25. A couple of years ago in 2022, I submitted sort of two of the first plays I'd sort of really worked on and written to the competition and were shortlisted. And that opened a lot of doors for me and has sort of enabled me to kind of have a career as a playwright, or well, whatever that means, but also kind of have the self-esteem and kind of like helped me view myself as a playwright. Like, it was a really important validation and it led to a lot of really important connections and support that I've just found crucial in my development as an artist. So yeah, it means a lot.
Yeah, because how, I mean,
I suppose networking is probably one of the most important ways to get into it, isn't it, as well, and get known.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, the, you know, the difference that it makes to just be able to have anything to put on a poster that says, someone somewhat reputable said this was pretty good, you know, goes a really long way in terms of getting people to a show that aren't just your friends, or even your friends. It goes a long way to convincing them that it's worth showing up for.
Funny. And you're also a part of Compromise, which is another New Zealand Fringe show happening.
Yes. So we've got this other show that opens this week. So that opens on Tuesday at the Griffin Theatre in Wellington. And this is a really interesting sort of premise for a show, fittingly kind of on the theme of creating opportunities for playwrights. It was created by my friend Evie Telfar, who's also a fantastic and acclaimed Wellington playwright. Basically the premise is that she got 8 playwrights together, including her and myself, and we each paired up into duos, preferably with people we didn't know super well, and were tasked with writing a 15-minute short play on the theme of compromise.
So what was your section focusing on when it came to compromise?
My section is a play called Evening Sour, which I wrote with Emily Hope, who is yet again another really interesting Wellington-based playwright. Although Compromise is really cool, we did have 2 wonderful Auckland-based writers on the project as well, Nanji Zeng and Jill Kwan, who have both brought some really interesting sort of material to the plays. So my play, Evening Sour, is about a first date between 2 people that sort of quickly kind of ventures beyond the realms of conversation you would normally have with someone on a first date and becomes honest in a way that is potentially initially funny and revealing, but becomes quite thorny as it goes along.
Now, so tell us, where do you, as a writer, where do you normally find your inspiration? Is it, like people say, writers quite often write about themselves, or is it external things, or what's your go-to?
Yeah, I kind of have, there's a few different things. Obviously, yeah, it's to a certain extent, everything you write comes from you, right? So depending on how much I want to talk about it, I'm sure there's plenty of myself in all of these kind of projects. But secondly, one of the things I really like about theatre is that it's so collaborative. And one thing I really like doing when I'm writing is writing to performers, or writing for sort of a situation, like going, okay, we really want to make a touring show. I have 2 people who I really want to work with. What would a show I could write that stars these 2 people that takes great advantage of kind of their skill sets be? And finally, as I mentioned earlier, a certain amount of ripping off of other media and things that you like goes a long way, right?
So why did you decide to go playwriting maybe rather than novels or short stories?
Yeah. So for a long time, I was really set on the idea of being a screenwriter or a film writer. I have a great passion for film. I love enjoying watching a film. Sort of throughout my university, I studied both film and theatre. Theatre was always kind of I won't say backup, because that would have been a questionable choice, but more something that felt very complementary to film. And eventually, I sort of realized kind of as I was nearing the end of my degree that every film I had ever written, every attempt I'd ever had at making a film, I'd really been writing a play. Because I don't think particularly cinematically, and I've always ultimately been concerned with, you know, 2 people talking to each other and hashing it out and sharing ideas. And as I sort of started reframing these things in my mind, it kind of stopped feeling like I was swimming upstream and, you know, started feeling like I was in a boat just zooming down the other way. That first sort of Before 25 nomination was a big part of that as well. And since then, I've just felt like so assured that it was a really good vehicle for sort of my writing and my ideas.
So as a playwright, how much, because obviously when we're performing a play, we don't want to say everything. We have to leave space for actors to kind of, and the audience to see rather than be told, right? So when you're writing, how much do you find that you write a lot and then you take the sucking egg stuff out of it?
as much as possible, generally, right? I don't know. I'm a really big believer that a one-act play, 60 minutes, there's a lot to ask of anyone. So, you know, I'm always trying to kind of, like, thin and sharpen down, which some people who've seen my plays might laugh at because they definitely have a penchant for sort of longer sections of dialogue. But sort of on that idea of kind of, like, leaving space for the actors, I think that's really crucial and really interesting, and is something that, like, when you have the privilege to be in a room with a director, can kind of take a lot of kind of ease off your mind, because you know that worst case scenario you're there to, you know, be able to slightly put the finger on the scale and kind of make sure that everything you're putting down is being picked up. But it becomes a really challenging act when you're essentially shipping off a script as a blueprint for a show to someone who you may not be having a lot of involvement with. And I think one of the great challenges of playwriting is doing a lot of things in sort of subtext or around the edges that kind of condition a team towards pushing a show in the direction you think it should go, right? Because ultimately you're not always going to be there to try and hold the hand and sculpt it. And also that's sometimes a really good benefit, because some things have a habit of coming to life in a way that's a lot more engaging or interesting than I can come up with.
So thinking about things that you've done before, has it been that maybe once you've got to a play reading, like, do you do an informal play reading before you put it out there to see whether it works or not, whether you've said too much or not enough?
Oh, I'm one of the benefits of sort of, I'm part of a really fantastic theatre collective and company called Squash Co Arts Collective. And part of the benefit of being part of a company and having sort of friends and collaborators in all these different roles is that I can have them on speed dial, and the second something's ready to go, I'm getting them together for an informal reading, right? Because you really never know until you're getting it read by people who aren't you, you know, who don't inherently have all these ideas or the rhythms of it in their mind, and you just need to see it come out of other people's mouths to realize what's working and what's not.
Now, what did you say that was called? Squashed?
Squash Co Arts Collective.
Cool. All right.
You can find us, I think it's at Squash Co Arts or Squash Co AC on Instagram and Facebook. We are co-producing the Compromise Project with Potentially Playing Productions, which is Evie Telfar's production company, and we're also producing Edit the Sad Parts. So you're very lucky to have all of these people around me to help make these things happen.
Yeah, that's incredible. And what was I going to say? I was just, sorry, my brain just went completely dead. There we go. That's my jet lag kicking in from being away. So other things that are on at Fringe, what are you most looking forward to seeing?
First of all, I just want to shout out a show I've already seen. A couple of nights ago, I saw a show called The Night Is Always Darkest. This is by Leah Kelly, who I, you know, all cards on the table, is also the director of both Compromise and Edit the Sad Part. So definitely a little bit of bias there. But Leah is a phenomenal artist who has a history of creating durational work, basically work that lasts a really long time. I've worked with her previously on a show called One Night Band, which was a show that over the course of 12 hours, every hour, a band writes a new song with the audience. So it's a 12-hour show. And this new work, The Night Is Always Darkest, is kind of her going further in that direction. But I would say even more ambitious. It's a show that started at midnight, or rather 11:59, and it ran until 7 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, people didn't have to come for the whole thing. I think we started with about 15 people in the audience, and there were about 6 or 7 of us left at the end. And basically the pitch of the show is that it took place at this, and it will be taking place again at this venue called 257 on Willis Street in Wellington, which is a co-working space.
That's upstairs from Unity Bookstore, right?
Exactly, bang on. And so the sort of space has been transformed into her bedroom. And we, the audience, are kind of the thoughts in her head, kind of hanging out with her throughout a night of insomnia, as she's kind of battling, trying not to send a sort of damning text or figuring out what she wants to say, and trying to distract her brain or go back to sleep. And it integrates sort of AV and audience interaction in a really compelling way that I think the thing that struck me most about it is it's a show about an experience, this kind of isolated early morning madness that you go through, that feels like something that everyone has experienced, but always on their own. And there's something really beautiful to sort of be collaboratively sharing that with people. And the relationship it created between us as an audience and her, but also us as an audience and each other, was really stunning and quite powerful and frankly just really beautiful.
Sounds fantastic.
It's on again at the end of Fringe, I believe on the 8th of March, so right at the end of Fringe, and I cannot recommend it enough, even if people just end up going for the first couple of hours. The way she sort of drips feeds, like, story to you through the little details around the edges, it was just really clever and mature and, I think, yeah, really powerful.
Cool. Well, I'm sure she'll appreciate that shout out. Now, we're coming to the end of our time. So, again, let's go back to your two shows. So, tell us, where's the best place? When are they on? Where do we get tickets? How do we follow everyone?
Yes, so the NZ Fringe website is a great place to go to get tickets. Just look up Compromise and edit the sad part. And then in terms of sort of following us on socials, look for Squash Co Arts Collective and potentially playing productions all over the place. We will be running this week with Compromise from Tuesday through Friday, and then once you're done with that, you can come over and see it at the sad part on Saturday.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, we wish you all the best for your season. Thanks so much for sneaking into a room upstairs and finding some space for us here at Kick Arts on Sunday night.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
No worries. Thanks, Jack. Lovely. Cool. That show sounded great.
That sounds awesome.
You'd have to be in the right frame of mind. You'd almost want to go to sleep before you go at midnight, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, crazy. Now, we've still got one more interview to come, people. But in the meantime, this is our next song, which is from Emerson. And they're questioning, "You Must Really Hate Me."
It's something good. You say you're not a bad guy, you're just so misunderstood. And I'm trying to understand, why do you fold a winning hand, meticulously planned an escape? Man, you really must hate me. Something so run of the mill. Heard all your best jokes, I still think you're such a pill. You'd make another quit, force me to loosen my grip. Your actions contradict what you say. Man, you really must hate me. You really must hate me. Watch me disappear, 'cause I'm so done with your victim playing. Call me drunk, like, what are you saying? Talk is cheap and we've both been trading. But you know who you're blaming, so damn, you really must.
Now, Emma,
aka Emerson, is doing so well with everything that's going on. They were actually on Breakfast the other morning with their band, which I've just had a complete brain fart, what the band is called, Fan Club. There we go. So doing so well, and including things like selling the T-shirt, which they're wearing in that music video.
Very
selling
cool.
those. Yeah, doing really well. Now, another person beaming in all the way from down the line is Anya from Butch Mermaid Productions. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Now, you've been on our show before, but you're here to present and talk about a new musical.
Yes, Antonio, the queer punk pirate musical.
I just love that. I've got these crazy pirate images in my head going on with this backing track. I wonder how out of the realm I am into what it actually is. Tell us a little bit about what the audience would expect.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a gig musical, so it's a bit like Hedwig and the Angry Inch. The vibe is sort of musical gig. Antonio is leading his band, The Fools for Love, to reclaim his stories. So the musical takes the premise that all of Shakespeare's characters named Antonio are in fact one gay pirate, and he just has to set the record straight because Shakespeare has not quite managed to tell his stories as queer as they really were.
Fair enough, and I suppose if we go back to Shakespeare's time, all the players were men.
Yes, they were, which is not true for our cast. but yes, that is true.
Fantastic. And where did the premise or the idea for this come from?
Well, I'm a giant Shakespeare nerd, and it's not a totally original thought to interpret Antonio from Twelfth Night or the Antonio from Merchant of Venice as being gay. There's definitely some sort of homosexual, I guess, like intimacy in those plays, but I just decided that maybe they were just all one person. So we take Antonio from four plays and weave them all together.
Fantastic. How long was this process of creating the book for this?
The initial book took about 6 months, and it was a asynchronous collaborative effort because I'm mostly based in New York, and Will, who wrote most of the music and lyrics, is based in Ponicky, and then Andy, who did some of the other music and the arrangement, was based in Glasgow. So we did a lot of Zoom meetings and sort of sending things back and forth across oceans.
That's crazy. And of course, Andy used to be in Christchurch. Well, he was in Auckland for a while as well before he took off back to over to Glasgow.
Yeah, and now he's in Barcelona. So, you know, really, they're doing well.
Wow, that is amazing. I didn't actually realize that they'd moved on from Glasgow. So, yeah, very cool artist in Andy. So tell us a little bit about the people playing along with you, your cast.
Yeah, so I'm William Dignan, who's based here in Ponicky, who wrote most of the music and lyrics. Plays Antonio. We have Jathan Morgan playing one of the other fools and the lover, Sebastian. We have Emma Katane playing the lover, Don Pedro, and again, a fool, and then Henry Ashby playing Bassanio and a fool. So we all play fools. I also play a fool. And so there's five of us in this sort of like, everyone who isn't Antonio plays a lover and a fool, essentially. Or maybe all lovers are fools, you know.
Because clowning is a big part of what you do. So does this kind of incorporate that into the Shakespearean style? Is there a lot of that kind of performance?
It's definitely a heightened show. So I would say it definitely has elements of physical theater. You know, we talk to the audience. There's a little bit of interaction. That's where I think you see it most clearly here. I mean, I'm very interested in the fools of Shakespeare, and all of the different fools in the show are named after different fools in the Shakespearean canon. But yeah, I think the physical theater kind of heightenedness is where it really comes through.
Now, this is an Australasian premiere that you're doing here, but you've performed it before at the Fringe. Is this a new cast or are most of them the same?
It's mostly a new cast. So Will and I were in the original, but everyone else has joined us here.
And has it grown or changed at all since that you did it in 23 at the Edinburgh Fringe, or has it pretty much stayed the same?
No, it's definitely grown. I think it's a better show. I think it's more, I don't know, it has, I think the arc is stronger. Shakespeare now appears in it. He didn't originally appear. So there are definitely some things that have changed, but I think the core of it is definitely the same, and it has the same sort of beating heart as it did in Edinburgh.
Fantastic. And where is it going after Ponicky?
So we're going to the Hamilton Arts Festival on February 28th. Then we're taking it over to Adelaide Fringe for a week from the 11th to the 16th. And then we're bringing it to Auckland, to the Basement Theatre from the 19th to the 22nd of March.
Fantastic. What a good amount of space to spread out. Like, yeah.
You know, good chunk of season.
It sure is. But I love how you're going from Hamilton to Adelaide and then back to Auckland. Now that's
back
a big journey.
It is. But I think it's going to be an even better show by the time we get there.
Oh, I'm sure it will. And what have you got lined up after Antonio? Anything lined up?
Sleep, I think, is mostly what I have lined up. But I do have a couple other show ideas. There's a story of a historical incident of lesbian in the Netherlands that I want to write a show about. And there's also a court fool from the late 1500s who in France that I want to write a show about. So I think that's going to be next.
Fabulous. And are you going to be back to New York after this, or are you hanging out here in Aotearoa for a little bit longer?
Unfortunately, I'll be back in New York and doing teaching artist work, but, you know, hopefully I'll be able to come back soon.
Fabulous. Well, we wish you all the best for Antonio. Tell us a little bit again, remind our listeners, when is it on, where can we see it, tickets, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Hamilton Arts Festival show is on the end of this month, the last day of the month, February 28th, and those tickets can be found through Event Finder. If you're at the Adelaide Fringe, March 11th through 16th at the Courtyard of Curiosities, and that's ticketed through the Fringe website, and then on at the Basement Theater from March 19th to 22nd, and that'll be on the Basement Theater's website.
Fantastic. And we've got your details on our events page on Kick Arts for New Zealand Fringe, and I've just written myself a note to add in the Basement in Hamilton, so that will be up on our website at the end of the show. So all the best, and thank you for giving us some of your Sunday night. I know you've been performing earlier this evening, so go now, rest, have some sleep.
Thank you. I'm going to go finish packing out the show.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Anya.
Yeah, have a good one.
Wow, well, what a busy night. So much happening down in Ponicky. It's definitely the place to be.
There is a lot going on, but really cool. A lot of different, like, diverse performances going on. Good range.
That's for sure. Now, if you've got a show coming up or something that you would like to promote, don't forget to email us at info@kickarts.org.nz. We're booking up really fast, and we're having to turn people away. So don't wait until 2 weeks before and hope to get on.
Get in months in advance.
Give us a month or so. I'm sure you're planning well more than a month in advance. And the other one, don't forget to get in touch with Auckland Theatre List NZ, which, of course, if you're doing a production up here in Tamaki Makaurau, James will list you on that, and that's an email that comes out on a Sunday night weekly to say what's happening in the week. So it's another place that you can get yourself promoted. Yeah. We're keen to have some new music. We're grateful to our PR company, Little Sister, who sends us lots of new music. Make sure if you've got a budding performer, maybe someone hoping to enter Play It Strange, or maybe they're doing Smoke Free Rock Quest, dob them in. We'd love to give them their first radio op and, you know, come in and sing, or come in and just talk to us, or send us their track. If they've got a demo that they've been recording in their bedroom, send it on in.
Absolutely. Anything that you got, send it that way.
Yeah. Now, Stephen will be back next week. And we, as we said, we'll talk a little bit more about our fifth birthday. But we have got a song to go out with, haven't we?
Yes, we do. All right. We're going to go to that now. So coming up now, we've got Brother Sister with Magic Dance. Brother Sister with Magic Dance, fun little David Bowie remake. All right, before we head off for the evening, Emma, what have you got going on this week?
Well, back to teaching for the first week of the term for me, and then on Friday, I'm off. Saturday, I'm off down to Balclutha for the Osters, which is the Otago Southland Theatre Awards.
Ooh.
Before heading over to Queenstown, I'm doing a really cool little project with Wakatipu High School. We're doing 6th, the teen edition.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing it as part of their studies, the Performing Arts Technology class, and we'll be performing that in June, but I'm going down to do the auditions to find my 6 queens.
Nice. So you came back from America and age, going back to being all over the place again, non-stop for you.
I sure am. Now, just very quickly, because I was just going through our bulletins, very exciting to see that In Other Words, which of course is Jennifer Ward-Leyland and Michael Hirst's show, is coming back this year and kicks off in the New Zealand tour kicks off in Auckland in February the 22nd. So don't miss out. It sold out last time. It's a fabulous show and you want to be a part of it. But it's time for us to wrap. So make sure you go out
kick
and
kick some arts.
We'll see you in a week. Don't forget to brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some arts.